What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Vancouver Ford text line raises a good question. Fan personality-wise, who is most likely to be sex trafficked? He's going with legendary fan twink Dusty Hera.
No.
Which is a good, it's a good answer, but I believe the correct answer is Sprague.
100%.
Right?
Yep.
If someone's going to get trafficked, it's going to be Sprague.
Sprague's younger.
Yes.
More taut.
Yes.
Dusty, you know, look, we love Dusty.
He's getting a little Pedro Pascal-y.
Yeah, he's getting a little
older. He's getting
older.
A little long in the tooth. Sprague not, looks young and fresh.
That's right. Sprague is kind of the new fan twink, really.
I think so.
You know, Dusty had a good run.
Yeah.
But we don't have any real youngs here. No. I mean, Ortner's young, but he's not, I don't know, he's not in that same archetype.
No. Sprague.
It's Sprague.
Sprague.
No question.
If someone, and he is a runner, hopefully he doesn't run at night, because I do think that, and let's be honest, he's a little, you know, he's a thinly built man. He probably could be kidnapped.
Plus, one of those windowless vans that rolls right up and they just like pull him inside and away he goes.
Yeah, Ortner's going to put up a pretty good fight to be kidnapped.
If you have Ortner in captivity, it's probably not going to be that way for very long. He's going to fight his way out.
Whereas Sprague, I think you could subdue, you know, 2 to 3 guys.
Kidnappable.
And he's kidnappable, and then Sprague's getting shipped somewhere to the Middle East, taken style. And
does he wear the little running shorts, like with the underwear built in him?
And I think he goes shirtless when he runs, too.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to say that Sprague's asking to be kidnapped, but I think he's putting out a kidnappy vibe.
Well, look, if you put all the perps and you lined them up and they looked at all the fan personalities, you know, I don't think there's anybody that they pick outside of Sprague.
No, I think it's universal.
We're all... old and you know,
yeah, it's
we're just, yeah, none of us are.
So kudos to you, Sprague, for being the most kidnappable, but
there's a reason we're on the radio.
Could be problematic for you later in life. Watch out where you're running. Running good neighborhoods.
Aaron Glenn got a job today.
Yeah,
got a new job,
and we knew this was coming. That was the report, was that the Jets were not going to let him out of the building.
The Jets, he is a Jet. He was drafted by the Jets. He played for the Jets. He was a good Jet. But I don't know.
Would you say he was a Jet all the way?
No, because he played for other teams.
Yeah.
It was a joke. That was a West Side Story joke.
Well, there was some talk that maybe he would be the guy
way
in
over
Orleans.
My head.
I think New Orleans is a bad job, though. I do.
Yeah. No, do they have a coach yet?
They don't have a coach yet.
No, Joe Brady, the new favorite to get that job over Mike McCarthy.
But, you know, the idea that
McCarthy.
I hope it's Joe Brady, because like with the Saints are stuck in this weird no man's land. They just need to tear that thing down. Like, Derek Carr and whatever you have isn't going anywhere. You're in the worst salary cap situation in the NFL. And I just feel like the Saints are always kicking the can down the road. They did this with Drew Brees, and they've been doing it since he retired. Just make the hard left and tear it down to the studs. And I feel like bringing in Mike McCarthy is just
the opposite of that.
The opposite of that. At least Joe Brady signifies, you would hope, a big swinge. And I hope they just get rid of Carr eat the money and then and go first. Look at like what Denver did. Denver ate so much cash.
Well, that's easier to do when you're Denver and you're in the AFC West with the Chiefs and other teams. Like, because I feel like the reason the Saints have done this for so long is their division has remained so winnable.
Well, but then again, what do you do? What does that go ask Tampa? What does that get you? It gets you a
nothing.
First round. It gets you nothing. You're just the Portland Trailblazers at that point.
That's
well,
exactly
not this
right.
version, the old version. So, look, I'll applaud Denver. They ate all that money with Russell Wilson and said, screw it, we're going to go get Sean Payton. We're going to pay him a S-ton of money. We're going to draft our quarterback. We'll take our lumps. And by the way, they didn't even really take their lumps. You know, they got Bo Nix, and all of a sudden Denver was a viable team, as opposed to this weird Derek Carr thing that they're trying to do. So I think that's a bad job, and it turns out the Jacksonville job's bad too.
Yeah, so, well, we covered a lot. I just, going back to Joe Brady for a quick second, and then we'll get back.
To Aaron Glenn.
Yeah. And then we'll get back.
Yeah.
To back. The Jags, what happened with him today. But Joe Brady's had a weird career arc.
Yes.
In that just 8 years ago, he was a grad assistant at Penn State.
Yep.
And then he was the bee's knees with the offense at LSU. He was not even the OC there. I don't know if people know that.
Passing game coordinator.
Yeah, and he... It, but, you know, I mean, he had Ja'Marr Chase and freaking, what's his nuts?
But he was also believed to be, like, the RPO guru, and that was the next thing that kind of set offenses on fire.
Okay, but then he parlays that into the NFL, and he got turfed in Carolina.
Flamed out.
Yes, almost immediately.
And spectacular fashion.
In Buffalo, he has Josh Allen. So, is that a great...
Ken Dorsey had that thing humming in Buffalo before. They just couldn't get over the hump, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... And the offense is kind of less dynamic right now. It's like it's good, but they're just running the ball. They got what's his nuts? Who's the running back?
James Cook.
Cook back there, and they got a good offensive line, and they're just kind of not screwing it up.
Yeah.
So I don't really see the appeal of Joe Brady. But any of these hires, this goes back to Aaron Glenn. I don't. They all kind of seem to suck, these hires.
Mm.
And the reason I say that, even Ben Johnson, is because, you know, with the Bears hired like Mark Trestman, it was like, offensive guru, what an outside the box. Dude, that was a joke, right?
Yeah.
So every time a new coach is hired, a hot coordinator gets a job, it's like, oh, what a hire.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't, well, I mean, how often does it work out?
Well.
Half the time? Not even half the time?
I mean, coaches are a crapshoot. I think hiring a coach is a lot like drafting a first-round quarterback. When you nail it, everything becomes easier.
But sometimes you nail it, and then 2 years later, he's fired.
Yeah. Well, like when Shane Steichen got hired, and I think Shane Steichen is a really bright guy, and everyone was like, oh my God, that's a great fit. And Steichen looked like he had something going there, and then he gets Richardson, and since then it's been a little like, and now he's probably coaching for his life next year. But to me, like Aaron Glenn is a culture guy. Aaron Glenn got hired because they view him as a Dan Campbell-like culture guy, right? Same thing with Mike Tomlin. And for a place like New York, I get it. That makes sense. You need a cultural shift. You also need your owner to go to the Trump administration and stop being a jackwagon over there. Like, just go do your own thing. And you're bringing in Aaron Glenn, and you're going to try to build a culture. And I would figure that is, again,
I love cows.
And let him build it up. But for the most part, if you want real success, the easiest way to do it is to find a bright young offensive guy. In today's NFL, it's the easiest path to success, and I still think it's the most attractive way to go about doing it, whether that is Kevin O'Connell, whether that is obviously McVay. I think Shanahan fits that mold, obviously. Liam Cohen's probably going to be a guy that gets a job. He's the Tampa offensive coordinator. So I just think this is the way. Sean Payton started out this way when he got the job in New Orleans. He's a guy. Matt LaFleur, right? All these young guys, Stefanski, people that can build and design offenses and that are dynamic play callers. So I think that has been the model in modern NFL times that works.
But it doesn't always work.
Well,
I mean,
nothing always works. But I think when all those examples that I brought up, I think that's what you're ultimately shooting for. But again, like when you're drafting a quarterback, you know, whether it's Caleb Williams or Bo Nix or whatever, when you hit on it, it's great. And when you miss, you miss. But I would rather shoot for that than I would I don't know, a CEO type.
See, I disagree. I'd go the other way.
You go the other way?
Yeah, because I think that as smart as Ben Johnson is, obviously excellent offensive coordinator,
yeah,
that doesn't mean he can run a team. As a matter of fact, that takes away
absolutely
from his offensive prowess that yes, he has to oversee everything. I would rather go, I think you have a higher hit rate by going and trying to get a Mike Tomlin type, Dan Campbell type. Aaron Glenn seems to kind of fit this mold, right? Yeah. He was a coordinator, but he's still kind of that,
he's a CEO
that culture guy, tone setter type of guy. That's what Tomlin and Campbell are. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that might be what Aaron Glenn is. It's kind of D'Amico Ryans is a good example of a guy who's kind of both.
Sure.
But I just, for every guy you brought up there, offensive coordinator, and that was several of them, I was trying to match you guy for guy in terms of failures. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I can if I go digging some more. But
sure,
for every Kevin O'Connell, there's Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
For every... who else did you mention? Stefanski, who I think does a pretty good job.
Like Cliff Kingsbury is a guy that flamed out, who's a bright offensive
guy. There's a Cliff Kingsbury. For every, the Arthur Smith flamed out. Yeah. Frank Reich flamed out. Like, there's so many, I don't know. When you take Ben Johnson's offense, that's great, but can he do everything?
Yeah.
And I don't really understand why we keep trying to fit these guys into a mold that they may not be. Not to say that Ben Johnson isn't, but I don't know. I think the one thing I would look for is, at the very least, can the guy lead my team, get him to play hard every week, rally him?
Well, that's a Dan Quinn. Like, Dan Quinn had a lot of success.
He's great at that.
The only thing that, see, and again, there's no right or wrong answer to this. This just comes down to what your view is. What scares me about a Dan Campbell type, what scares me about a Dan Quinn type is in today's world, if you have success, you're lucky to keep your coordinator for 2 years. You just, that's where people are going. So when you look at Dan Quinn, for instance, Dan Quinn should have won a Super Bowl in Atlanta, correct?
Well, he blew it. But
blew it.
I mean, he got there.
Yes, he got there. And what happened as soon as, we know who's in charge of the offense.
Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan. What happened when Kyle Shanahan left?
I don't know.
What happens when Cliff Kingsbury leaves Washington? And we're about to find out. And I love Dan Campbell. I'll be very interested to see what happens when Dan Campbell leaves. So to me, I would rather have someone, offense or defense, that is a builder and someone that can put a system in place. Andy Reid is this way, where despite what happens with my coordinator shifting, right, I know I have a guy that has a system that is in place that will not change, because to me, the ultimate thing in this league, besides stability in the front and being able to draft and evaluate, that's a whole other conversation about GMs. Knowing that my quarterback, the most important position in all of football, is going to have stability and is not going to have to work in multi-systems. You will be under my program, the Sean McVay program, the Shanahan system, the Matt LaFleur system. I would rather deal with that than have to every 2 years, if I have success, go back and do it again and again and again. That to me is
yeah.
Scary.
You could make the case the other way though, and say you'd rather, if you're going to run through guys, I'd rather run through coordinators than head coaches.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because head coach, I mean, it just resets everything.
It absolutely does.
And you don't get free agents or the guys don't want to come play there because of this guy. I don't know. It almost is like, every 2 years you get a new OC, it's like the league, unless you're Shanahan and that coaching tree, there really isn't anything that the league doesn't catch up to.
Yeah.
So you might as well bring in the new hot thing every two years at coordinator rather than switching out head coach after head coach.
There's something to be said for the stability of having a hard-nosed CEO type, which is...
I thought of another one, Adam Gase. Yeah. Everybody thought Adam Gase was going to be a great hire because he was a great offensive coordinator.
And by the way, Mike McDaniel may be a year away from flaming out in Miami, and he was another wonder kid whose offenses are great, but he can't win, and he loses every time he plays against a quality team. What I think is funny is, like, the most successful coach in the history of the NFL was a defensive-minded CEO, like the ultimate CEO, and that was Bill Belichick. And look at how hard New England tried to go away from Bill. And now they're right back with a Bill clone and the same OC that Bill had.
Yeah.
They've just gone full circle and are like, welcome back, Vrabel and McDaniels.
Don't you think that when you win six titles, And then you don't have the guys that won you the six titles, yeah. and you see the new guys and they suck and you're terrible. I mean, isn't it human nature to want to go right back to what won you six titles?
Yeah.
I mean, look, no, is there even an argument to be made they're better off with Mayo than Vrabel? They're not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, they went back to McDaniels, which is weird, but McDaniels has been really good there.
Yes.
He sucks as a head coach, yeah. but for whatever reason. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's a great example. Like, that is a genius offensive coordinator.
He can't be a head coach.
He is terrible as a head coach. Yeah. Why haven't we evolved to see those traits? Like, because I feel like there's a lot of McDaniels out there, and that could be Ben Johnson. I don't know how Ben Johnson relates to players.
Well, he's not a dynamic personality.
Who?
Ben Johnson.
Well, there you go. That's Josh McDaniels. Yeah. Or he's an a-hole. Or, you know, like, those things matter more than the X's and O's.
If Ben Johnson was smart, and I haven't seen a lot of this, if he was smart, he would go hire a... What do they call the in college? You know, the
chief of staff?
The chief of staff. If Ben Johnson was smart, he would go hire a chief of staff that basically is his avatar for dumb head coaching responsibilities. Like press conferences and like a lot of team meetings. Just go hire someone that is your right-hand man, and instead of... Like when Ben Johnson's the offensive coordinator, he just sits in a room and, dude, that guy made the best offense we've seen in football in 25 years, and he did it with a, let's be honest, a very average quarterback. But as a head coach, you're going to have to cut 40% of your time off from being an offensive, you know, coordinator. Why not go find a chief of staff and delegate 80% of being a head coach to that guy, and then only vacate a little bit of your offensive coordinator duties? But we never want to do that. We always make the head coach be the end all, the be all. And I think that is ultimately why you see a lot of the coordinators, like we were talking about, they fail, because you can't, you're stretched too thin.
Well, they're just football guys.
Yeah.
They're not leaders.
No.
And football guy, I mean, like X's and O's, like they're really smart in a film room or whatever, but that's not...
No, it doesn't work.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It would seem that owners in the NFL would have kind of have evolved and figured this out and get better at this, but they're not. They just keep... Maybe there's just not enough guys out there, or it's just really hard to identify those traits, but...
There's a really good article about the... I'll find it. There's a really good article out there about nepotism and like... agencies, like agents being in control of these hiring processes and how screwed up it is. And I think we assume, because these are billion-dollar corporations, that they run really efficient searches, and it's really not. A lot of it is simply who you know.
The agent may have a team over the barrel. The agent
may have a team over the barrel, and it's whose ass you kiss, and it's whose you know, and they really do make a lot of piss-poor hires.
You should put us in charge. That's what I feel.
Well, you just think, with a billion-dollar organization and no salary cap, this would be the one position that you can really dive into and spend a lot of money. And NFL people screw it up, and they view it as... Ben Johnson got $13 million, right? And everyone's like, oh my God, $13 million. Do you know what $13 million gets you? It gets you a number three receiver. So now we're going to take the most important thing on your team, being a head coach, and we're gonna try to be cheap about this.
If we're talking value, head coaches, the best one should be making $50 million a year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Belichick, what was Belichick making when
Andy 20? Reid should be making triple whatever he's making.
What's Reid make?
I think Reed's in the teens. I think he's like 15 to 18.
Bargain.
Exactly. That gets you a slot corner. And yet we sit here and we nickel and dime, and there's no salary cap whatsoever. I never understood why someone like Detroit doesn't go to Ben Johnson and be like, dude, what do you want to stay here and be the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, that's what I do.
You want $10 million and you don't have to do with
that's
anything.
Right.
We'll make you the associate head coach. I'm going to have the most expensive staff, and it's going to be worth it, because look at what we just did.
Well, the Chiefs have been able to keep Spags. I don't know how.
Well, because he flamed out and they pay him a lot, but yeah.
Well, they pay him. So right there.
Yeah.
Like, at least one owner
pay
is smart enough to realize we got to keep the continuity here. Yeah. Now, you probably can't always do that. You can't keep Ben Johnson and Aaron.
These guys want to be head coaches.
You can't keep Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn forever. But what you can do is incentivize. If you have a really good head man like a Tomlin or a Campbell, you can say, hey, it's different here.
I would.
When
I
you
would
come
spend
here, you
so
are
much money.
You are not just going to be bouncing out of here. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to hold you back from taking your dream job. Don't get me wrong, but we're going to pay the hell out of you, and we expect continuity here.
Yeah.
And do it that way. Like, why is that so hard to do?
I don't know.
What's wrong with the NFL?
I don't have a salary cap for my coaching staff, and I would spend so much money.
All right. We'll wrap this up as the carousel turns coming up next, but first, Buck with SportsCenter.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're talking about coaching hires. Such a crapshoot. Although I'm kind of interested in the Aaron Glenn hire to the Jets. It's, you know, honest with you, this year his defense was really good and he lost like 16 guys to IR. But the last couple years prior, his defense was not that good. It's just everybody likes him. Mm-hmm. He's just your typical hard-nosed football coach that people want to run through a brick wall for. And maybe that's good. Maybe that's what the Jets need. And if he makes some smart offensive and defensive coordinator hires, the Jets got it cooking.
Well, no
idea.
At the end of the day, it is going to be about the GM they hire, because that roster needs a complete overhaul. It's like anything else. If you don't give me any groceries, I can't cook you a good meal. And
yeah, but he got one of the better jobs of the ones that are open.
Yeah, I would think so.
Roster-wise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that one, interesting. Ben Johnson, who knows? Like I said, it could be Mark Trestman. It could be Matt Nagy. Yeah. It could be.
Well, you're hoping it's Sean McVay is what you're hoping.
Right. It could be. But how many good coaches have the Bears had since Ditka?
I don't think they've had.
Start rattling them off.
No. But I
mean, seriously, that's a good question. Have they had a good coach since Ditka?
Lovie Smith was good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Lovie was good.
He got him to the Super Bowl,
he
right?
He got him to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman.
Sexy Rexy.
But I think if you're Chicago and you have all this money invested in Caleb Williams and you had no offensive scheme to speak of, you had to go in the direction of a guy that you believe can mold your quarterback. And of all the guys that are on the market, there is no one there that is better equipped to mold your quarterback than Ben Johnson. Doesn't mean he'll succeed. Doesn't mean that he'll grab a locker room. Doesn't mean that he can handle all the delegation duties that go along with being a head coach and being an offensive coordinator and a play caller. But when you look at a guy without an elite quarterback that ran a top three offense in the league for the last couple of years, if you're Chicago, I 100% think that if you're going to swing and miss, you swing and miss with Ben Johnson as opposed to any other candidate that's out there. It's an absolute no-brainer.
Well, he seemed to be the top guy out there.
Yes.
But I'm just pointing out, again, that oftentimes the top, like Josh McDaniels was the top guy out there.
Yes.
At one point.
And was a wonder kid offensive guy, and he was terrible.
So you just, just because they're the top guy out there doesn't mean that's the right hire, but I totally understand the synergy with Caleb Williams and why you would hire Ben Johnson. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Jags are the next team up.
You want to talk
they
about
need
this
a coach.
Function.
And they're, rest in peace, Trent Baalke.
Yeah.
He got fired today, and that came out about an hour after the OC of the Bucks said, yeah, I'm backing out on the Jags gig.
Yeah, when Liam Cohen, who was kind of the hot name and everyone assumed was attached to that Jags job, when he said no, and then this happens, clearly what happened was is that he said, I'm not taking the job when Trent Baalke's there. So much of being a head coach, again, is synergy with your GM. So whether you hire a GM and that GM goes and finds your coach, or you hire a coach and then you find a GM that works well with it. Clearly, no one wanted to work with Trent Baalke, which, again, bad organizations going to be bad organizations. So the fact that you knew that candidates didn't want to work with a lame duck GM that probably was going to get fired after 1 year anyways, you cost yourself basically any shot at having any of the top candidates, and you still ended up firing your GM. Just fire him a month ago. And then you could have gone through this process and maybe had a shot at some of the more attractive names. Because if you're Jacksonville, your roster is not bad. You do have Trevor Lawrence. And if you get a guy that believes in Trevor Lawrence, and again, your roster is not bad. A couple years ago, this was a playoff team. And you find some synergy between a head coach and a GM, you probably could have been in line. We thought this was one of the better jobs. But when you have piss poor ownership and you have a lame duck GM, I don't know where you go now. Maybe you try to convince Liam Cohen, like, no. Look, we'll get a GM. Please come back. But at this point, you're now left scrambling for, I'm not going to say the scraps, but at this point, you're not getting the best candidates, and you weren't even in line to do it.
So I think that, at least when I saw this go down, I kind of felt the opposite. So you said you think that Baalke got fired because the Bucks OC didn't want to work with him?
It sounds like a lot of the top candidates were not willing to work with
him. They didn't
want to
work with, why not?
One, they don't like him. He's not very good at his job. And they all thought that he was a lame duck guy anyway. So what you do is you don't want to take a job and then have the pressure. So we talk about this a lot, that a lot of times people make dumb decisions because their jobs are on the line. Right. So if you're a GM and you know that your job
that
is
that doesn't happen at Odyssey.
No, not at all. When you're hanging by a thread, you may make a rash decision because you know you need to win 8 or 9 games to save your job, even if it's not long term in the best interest. So when you're a young coach and it's your first head coaching job, you are not going to be tied to a GM that you think is, one, not very good, and two, probably on his way out and doesn't have your best interests. So Jacksonville basically neutered themselves in this whole thing. And everyone kind of knew that that may be a sticking point, but they're like, well, Jacksonville must really like Trent Baalke. Turns out they don't, which if that was the case and you were lukewarm on him, why did you keep him?
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
This is bad organization.
Do you remember their weird press conference a couple weeks ago where their owner, Shad Khan, was on there and it was a Zoom and Trent Baalke was also on there and a reporter asked Khan a question about, you know, the organizational leadership and they said, what if things aren't working at the GM position? And he said, well, we would address that too. Yeah. And his GM's sitting right there.
Yeah.
So seems to me Khan's not.
No, it's a
he's
bad.
Kind of in and out. Like he,
it's a bad.
He just sound. It just sounds to me like he isn't all that hands on, right? Like maybe he's like, I don't know where he lives, but he, in other words, he doesn't seem like a Jerry Jones type where it's just all he kind of seems lost.
Yes,
and he comes in and he's like, well, what am I gonna do here? And then he ducks out and you
there's
don't hear
no
from,
plan.
Yeah, there's like no.
Jerry has an idiotic plan because it's just all Jerry, all
but,
the time.
But he's in
but
charge.
It's a plan. But
it, Khan is like the owner. You call and he's like, what's going on?
What?
Fill me in. What's happening?
Jody Allen-esque.
We're playing in London again, right? Yeah, we're still doing that? Okay, great.
That's what it seems like. I don't know if any of that's true, but it's what it seems like. I just read today that the Jags have the worst record. Since he took over as owner, they have the worst record in the NFL.
Nah, that's brutal, dude.
And you wouldn't know that. He doesn't get that label because they had a almost Super Bowl run.
Yep.
And then they've had a couple good teams. So he doesn't. I don't know why he doesn't get that label, but I just thought it was weird because I thought Balke would get fired before they hired the coach. But he got fired after the coach said no.
And now you're left scrambling to hire a leftover GM, a leftover coach, and you've officially become one of the organizations that people just kind of look at and go, eh.
All right. Well, there's one more actually two other hires that are both, if they happen, they haven't happened yet, but if they do, they're quite bizarre. And we will wrap up the hour with those next on The Fan. I was just reading about Shad Khan, the Jags owner. Who's pretty dumb. Well, I mean, as a football owner.
Yeah, it's just it's a bad.
But
a bad
he's, you know how he made his money? His monies?
I did not until I heard you guys talking over the break. It's the American dream.
He made all the bumper. He's from Pakistan.
Yeah.
And he came over here. He went to the University of Illinois. He made all the bumpers for Toyota trucks for Toyota.
Yeah, he took a job working at some auto
Flexengate,
you know, factory or whatever, and then grew it into his own and eventually sold bumpers to Toyota.
Yeah, started as an engineer, a director of engineering for the company, and then took his business to Toyota.
Well, mean mustache. He, by the way, he's been married since 1977.
Mm. Well, good for Mr. Khan. Yeah.
To Anne.
We'll see what, you know, maybe he's got
a white woman.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, he's from Pakistan.
He's got a great mustache. All I know is the dude makes a lot of money, and I don't think anyone in Jacksonville likes him. He puts home games over in London. I just think they're a poorly run organization from Urban Meyer to whatever debacle this is. Doug Peterson didn't work out down there. Seemingly, you got lucky with the Trevor Lawrence thing, but now you're even questioning whether Trevor Lawrence is the franchise guy at 55 plus million. I just think if you're looking at these jobs, as crappy as the Raiders are, and believe me, I think the Raiders are a crappy organization. I think Tom Brady gives them some sort of cachet and that maybe you think there's some stability there. I think that's a bad job in Jacksonville. I really do. And the fact that your offensive coordinator from Tampa Bay is like, hard pass.
And now you've got three guys in the building that you wanted to coach your team, and all of them are like,
Yeah.
Now, what do you think is a worse hire or stranger hire of the two of the other two that we haven't talked about? One is that the Raiders are sniffing around Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
And the other is that the Cowboys are interviewing Brian Schottenheimer again today.
Niners are sniffing around Carroll, too.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, for their DC.
Yep.
Because they want Saleh, but it sounds like Saleh may be in a head coaching run too. So.
Well, I tell you, I don't hate Carroll as a DC. I wouldn't hate that.
No?
Do you hate that as a Niners fan?
No, I would not.
I'd rather have Robert Saleh, but I would be interested to see. If Pete Carroll can put the ego stuff at the door, I just wonder if with someone who's been that successful, it's the Bill Belichick thing. Can you really be a cooperative guy? You know, when you've run your own show. But look, Pete Carroll has forgotten more about playing defense than most people in the NFL will ever
know.
And
he's from the Bay Area, and he already would coach for the 49ers.
Well, it would be weird to see him in Niners gear.
Yes.
Being all the years in the Seahawks.
Yes,
but
it would be very, very strange.
You know, maybe he's like Chip Kelly in a way in that the ego stuff he can put aside because he's older and he's like, dude, all I want to do is coach, and this allows me, I just focus on defense. I don't have to worry about all the other stuff as a head coach, and I can... And I'm still in the game.
The appropriate answer of what is the weirdest
Schottenheimer?
Hire? Yeah, it's Schottenheimer.
Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
That is so out of the blue.
That would be the most, if he ends up getting that job.
Why would you fire McCarthy to hire Brian Schottenheimer?
He's already there.
You
he's
wouldn't like, if you thought that's what was going to happen.
He is, I don't know how to best describe it. Like everything you read about Jerry Jones is that there's nothing that Jerry Jones loves more than... Well, then Jerry Jones. But it's the idea that, like, it's like thing why he loves Kellen Moore. He loves knowing that he found someone. He's directly responsible for it. And the fact that Schottenheimer's been there for the last years or whatever as an analyst and offensive coordinator, it's someone that he can keep his thumb on. It's someone that he can be in charge of. It's the Jason Garrett, it's the Kellen Moore thing. But if you're a Cowboy fan and you end up with Brian freaking Schottenheimer, of all the dumb things that the Cowboys have done, that will be the most Jerry Jones working independently. There's no one in that building that is going to agree that that is a good move.
You have got to be smoking something over there.
If you're going to do that, why didn't you just rehire McCarthy? And it sounds like he didn't dislike McCarthy. It sounded like it was a contract thing.
They were in negotiations, and they couldn't agree on the number of years, I think.
Well, don't you think McCarthy had enough?
Probably.
McCarthy's probably like, I don't need this crap.
But that's my point is, like, so Jerry Jones is worth how much money?
Oh, I don't know. Billions.
Billions, right? This is the amazing thing with me. And we just got done talking about being cheap for no good reason.
17 billion.
How much?
$17.3
billion. $17
billion.
Yeah, you know, that's
there is good. No salary cap for your coaching staff whatsoever. So let's say, do we know what McCarthy was making? $9 million, $10 million a year, something like that? Okay. And let's say he wants $11 million and he wants it for 5 years and you want to give it to him for 3 years. Okay. So we're talking about now $18 to $20 million that you're apart if it goes wrong. Right? If it goes wrong and you're willing to cut your own nose off over $20 million, which once again, look up what $20 million buys you for an NFL player. It's stunning to me. It buys you a left guard. And so you are going to go down this road. And by the way, it's not $20 million, $20 million over 5 years. That's what you're picking over?
Yeah, his average contract was $8 million a year.
Oh, my God.
Well, don't you think two?
$16 million then. 2 years difference. $16 million, which, by the way, doesn't buy you a left guard. It probably buys you a center or a third receiver. And that's what Jerry Jones is willing to go through all this mess for because his cheap ass won't just pay the going rate.
Don't you think, though, that, one, they put themselves behind the eight ball because they were going to try to re-up McCarthy and it didn't work out. McCarthy's like, gave him the finger.
Yeah.
And so then they missed out on the interviews for all the coordinators that are in the playoffs.
Yes.
So that's the first thing. Yep. So who else is out there? Vrabel got picked off. Yep. Like, I mean, Belichick went to North Carolina. So those are probably the guys that he would think about. Then he interviews Dion. But I think it's telling that Dion, that nothing's happened with him. Like, in other words, it may be a thing that, coaches are going in and talking to Jerry and they're like, there is no chance I'm working for that guy.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe even Dion said, this is intriguing and this and that, you know, maybe people are like, dude, that you're dying. It's career suicide.
Like, trust me. You don't want that.
Don't go coach the Cowboys, especially if he's trying to screw you out of money.
Yeah. Somebody tells me that if Dion wants that job, that number probably starts with a one. He's probably going to want Ben Johnson, 13, 14, 15 mil. And it's amazing to me that cheap ass that is worth $17 billion, nickels and dimes as coaches. It just blows my mind. It seems like it's the one thing in the NFL that you should splurge on. You should just spend money to go hire the best staff you can, the best analytic guys you can. There's no limit to what you can spend. And so many of these owners with a 200, the salary cap in a year or two is going to be $290 million. And yet you're going to sit here and you're going to piss and moan over a few extra million dollars over your coaching staff. Jerry Jones and Shad, they just deserve each other. They can get together and talk about being a billionaire because they ain't winning jack ass.
So if you're the Cowboys right now, who do you hire? Do you go Dion?
If you can get him.
You can get him. It's just a matter of how much you're going to pay him.
I wouldn't, but.
Well, then who are you going? This is why I think they're interviewing Schottenheimer. There's no one left. Who are they going to go get? You could get Doug Peterson, I guess. That's Mike McCarthy times, you know.
Could you go hire Spags away from KC?
I don't know.
Would you want to?
I don't think he's that smart.
I wouldn't want to.
I'm just
to
trying
either.
To think of coaches who are still left in the playoffs that you could make a run at afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kingsbury do anything for you?
It sounds like Kingsbury's happy to stay another year.
Yeah,
but Kingsbury, again, do you go knock on Cohen's door down in Tampa?
The thing about Schottenheimer, I was looking at his...
Schottenheimer.
Yeah, dude, he's Nathaniel Hackett all over again.
Yes.
It's nepotism.
Yep.
He's not any good.
Nope.
He was in Seattle. He got ran out of there.
Yep.
Everywhere he's gone, he's been demoted the next job.
Yeah.
He's gone from OC to a quarterback's coach or OC to a passing game coordinator. Unbelievable.
I would probably, honestly, I would go kick the door on Robert Saleh. I think Robert Saleh got a raw deal in New York. I'd go kick the door on that. See if, you know, the second time around.
Yeah, it seemed like Saleh didn't get along with Woody and didn't get along with Rodgers, and that was a big problem. But I think he is a good culture guy.
Yeah.
Somebody just texted and said, keep an eye on Gruden. Gruden to Dallas.
Yeah. I've heard that kicked around, too. I don't hate that idea.
You know, and ultimately, I'll bet you it just ends on Kellen Moore, which is just...
It's possible.
Jason Garrett 2.0.
Yeah, younger Jason Garrett. Yes,
this is the younger... And you know what he loves about that? He found Kellen Moore.
Yeah, he picked him.
He loves the guy that he found, which is why the Deion Sanders thing would be... It seemingly would be perfect for Jerry, but I think he's too cheap to go get him.
Oh, Grandpa. It's like dealing with gramps.
Yeah.
I don't even want our listeners to listen to me.
The best thing that could happen to the Cowboys is for him to
die.
Well, I don't want to say that.
Just, well, that's what you meant.
I don't know. Can we have like a...
But if Stephen Jones takes over, is it any better?
I think it is.
Well, yeah. It's better than Jerry, but...
I don't want to say die, just...
permanently maimed?
Incapacitated? What if he just... I don't know. What if he finds true love with like a 21-year-old college student and then just... They move to somewhere...
Do you think Mrs. Jones could handle it better than him?
Oh, yeah. I forgot there is a Mrs. Jones.
Yeah,
but is there?
Yeah, she's in the picture. I see her on that Dallas Cowboy cheerleader show.
Yeah, Jerry's known...
She's pretty hot for 95.
I don't think that's what Jerry's into. Jerry likes the ladies.
The offense was ripping.
All right, we got to go. Coming up next, we'll get back to our NFL Weekend Wonder Bread on The Fan.
Hey, football fans. For those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.